A young black man stood in a San Francisco hospital parking lot in the early 1980s, staring at a gleaming red Ferrari 308. The owner emerged, and instead of walking away, the young man asked two questions that would alter his entire life. What do you do? And how do you do it? The answer? I'm a stockbroker, planted a seed that would grow through homelessness, single fatherhood, and relentless determination into extraordinary success. This wasn't just curiosity. It was the moment Chris Gardner glimpsed a possibility beyond his circumstances. That parking lot conversation became the catalyst for a journey that would inspire millions, proving that sometimes the most important thing you can do is simply ask the right question at the right moment. Gardner's Milwaukee childhood mixed sweetness with shadow. His mother, whose supernatural fingernails could break apples in half, filled their home with homemade pull candy. But his stepfather, Freddie, a man so imposing, he returned to work the day after being shot, cast constant tension over their lives. When his mother went to prison for attempting to burn down their house with Freddie inside, Chris and his siblings scattered into foster homes. This fracture planted something fierce in Gardner's heart. His own children would never wonder where their father was. The neighborhood streets became his first business school. Junking, salvaging materials from condemned buildings, taught him supply, demand, and negotiation. Mr. Katz, the shrewd buyer who couldn't be fooled by weighted loads, provided lessons in integrity no classroom could teach. Uncle Henry arrived like a lifeline, introducing Gardner to encyclopedias and possibilities beyond poverty. When he drowned, Gardner developed forced emotional control that would later help him maintain composure when everything fell apart. The most pivotal moment came at 16, watching NCAA basketball, when his mother casually remarked, "Son, if you want to, one day you could make $1 million." That offhand comment became a mantra through his darkest days. At 17, Gardner enlisted in the Navy, seeking structure and escape from Milwaukee. As a medic at Camp Lejeune, his empathy earned him the nickname Doc. Lieutenant Commander Gannon became the father figure he'd never had, teaching him leadership principles that transcended the military. After his 1976 discharge, Gardner became a research assistant to Dr. Robert Ellis at the University of California and Veterans Administration Hospital in San Francisco. He immersed himself in cardiac preservation research, studying how potassium concentrations affected heart muscle viability during transplants. His work contributed to protocols that improved survival rates, and his name appeared on peer-reviewed publications, remarkable for someone without formal medical credentials. Gardner's methodical approach earned unprecedented respect. He mastered laboratory techniques so thoroughly that he trained medical school graduates. When racial undertones surfaced, Dr. Ellis declared, "This is Gardner's world. Whatever he says goes." During this ascension, Gardner married Sherry Dyson, a mathematics teacher, on June 18, 1977. Sherry created elegant homes and introduced him to San Francisco's intellectual elite. Yet beneath this success, Gardner felt increasingly constrained. The stability he'd craved began feeling like a gilded cage. Security and authenticity don't always coexist peacefully. At 26, Gardner abandoned medicine after Dr. Ellis warned about HMOs eroding physicians' autonomy. Though devastating, he felt unexpected relief. Sometimes liberation arrives disguised as loss. His marriage unraveled through small moments, revealing deeper incompatibilities. When he met Jackie, her magnetic presence immediately captured him. Their passionate affair shattered what remained of his marriage. Jackie's pregnancy awakened fierce determination in Gardner to provide better than his own childhood, but their relationship deteriorated into volatile cycles, intense arguments about finances and parenting, passionate reconciliations, repeating endlessly. During one heated dispute, Gardner grabbed Christopher's carrier, shouting, "You're not gonna take my child from me," a moment that would haunt him. This turbulence catalyzed Gardner's search for his biological father, Thomas Turner, in Monroe, Louisiana. Their first meeting proved overwhelming. The physical resemblance was shocking. "He looked exactly like he had just spit me out," Gardner noted. Watching his father walk hand in hand with Christopher stirred sharp jealousy. How come that couldn't have been me? Yet this journey brought profound closure, healing his fatherless wound and enabling him to focus fully on being the father he never had. Gardner's first brokerage visit crackled with energy, phones ringing, ticker tape streaming, brokers shouting orders. As the only black face among white suits, he remained undaunted. If others made $80,000 monthly, why not him? Reality hit hard. Without a degree, connections, or wealth, the barrier wasn't just racism, it was placism. What was his connection to money, markets, wealthy clients? E.F. Hutton offered a position, then rescinded it when the hiring manager was fired. Then catastrophe struck. After a heated argument with Jackie drew police, Gardner faced battery charges plus $1,200 in parking tickets. He spent 10 days in Santa Rita jail without trial, enduring the hot box, a roofless brick hut with extreme temperatures. Released the day before his rescheduled Dean Witter interview, he returned home to find it emptied. Jackie had taken everything, including Christopher. In jail-worn, paint-speckled clothes, Gardner interviewed and won the position. He passed his Series 7 and began earning $1,200 monthly, making 200 cold calls daily. Though clients often wanted someone with more experience, Gardner adapted, conducting business primarily by phone where his race wasn't apparent, letting expertise speak for itself. 4 months after their separation, Jackie appeared unexpectedly with 19-month-old Christopher, leaving him permanently in Gardner's care with just a duffel bag and stroller. His joy crashed against harsh reality. The rooming house prohibited children, rendering them instantly homeless. They found refuge at the Palms in West Oakland, a $25 per day establishment serving sex workers and societies marginalized. Gardner secured childcare for $100 weekly. The hotel's streetwalkers formed an unexpected support network, regularly slipping Christopher $5 bills, money that often meant the difference between eating and going hungry. Survival required constant improvisation. Some nights they slept beneath Gardner's desk at Dean Witter, other times in $10 trucker motels or Union Square Park. Reverend Cecil Williams at Glide Memorial Church provided meals and dignity, eventually connecting them to the Concord Plaza, the country's first homeless hotel. Gardner transformed their predicament into moments of joy, playing shh games with Christopher in BART station bathrooms to avoid security. As commission checks increased that spring, they found their breakthrough, a house with a flourishing rose bush in the middle of the ghetto. This Easter time transition became so significant that Gardner established a tradition of returning to Glide annually, remembering both his struggles and the community that sustained him. Gardner's work ethic caught Bear Stearns' attention. Gary Shimano offered him a $5,000 monthly draw with 50% commission above quota. On his first day, legendary CEO Ace Greenberg shared the firm's philosophy. Bear Stearns was built by PSDs, poor, smart, with a deep desire to become wealthy. This resonated deeply with Gardner. Within a year, Christopher and Gardner moved to a beautiful Victorian apartment in Pacific Heights. Life stabilized with real choices beyond penny counting. Gardner positioned himself as a financial physician, building genuine rapport by understanding clients' needs rather than pushing products. In 1987, Gardner established Gardner Rich & Company in Chicago, targeting wealthy African Americans, from Quincy Jones and Michael Jordan to black institutions. His vision embraced conscious capitalism, managing money for labor markets and educators, returning profits to public sectors. In April 2004, Gardner attended South Africa's elections, marking 10 years of democracy. At President Mbeki's inauguration, seeing Nelson Mandela arrive to 100,000 roaring people brought him to tears. Their scheduled 15-minute meeting extended to 45, ending with Mandela asking, "How can I help you?" and supporting Gardner's vision of making economic freedom as available as political freedom. Gardner's conscious capitalism continued with plans to develop affordable housing in San Francisco's Tenderloin, his old neighborhood. Breaking the cycle of fatherlessness by being present for Christopher and Jacintha has given him true happiness. His journey demonstrates that true wealth isn't measured in dollars, but in health, raising good children, and doing meaningful work.